Welcome to Section 9, where we talk about IT and information security. I'm Damian Hull.
And I'm Dorothy.
And today we're going to talk about the class we took from Black Hills Information Security on applied purple teaming. And this was sort of a last-minute thing. I happened to see it pop up on Twitter. It was a free course, 4 hours long, happened on Saturday. And this was great, but it was a bit overwhelming because there was a lot of information they gave out.
Well, first, before you get into what we did, why don't you explain what the course was about, like, you know, what they expected us to do, and then what we did and how it went.
Yeah, so this was all about purple teaming. And purple teaming is a combination of red team, which are supposed to be the hackers, and then you have the blue team, which are the defenders. And so the idea is that you're going to try to do both, right? And your security team for your organization is going to understand how the hackers get in, and also how to do defense and prevent the hackers from getting in.
Because I guess one of the things that happen is when you do like red team, you just care about the hacking part. When you do blue team, you just care about the defending. And sometimes both teams really don't share the information. So someone came up with a purple team that is like, not only do we do this, but then we cooperate into, you know, the blue team will tell the red team how they defended, and the red team would tell the blue team how they attack and share the information. So that was pretty good.
Yeah. And what you're trying to do here is learn from both. And the idea is that, you know, if you're a defender, how do you defend if you don't understand how the hackers are getting in? And so this is kind of how this broke down. And there was a lot of prerequisites that we had to take care of. There's a lab that we put together, which we didn't really get to use because it was just, the course was just a lot. It was a bit quick and overwhelming all at the same time. And there was so much information that was given out that we weren't really able to sort of follow along with our lab. But there are a few questions that they're trying to get you to think about. And they're trying to teach you what it is that they're trying to do here in all of this, because there's a lot of tools that they presented. But then the question is, well, why are we doing this? What's the point of this particular course? And the point of all of this is, one, to think about how the hackers are getting in. And then two, to ask yourself this one question. If they're in your environment, if they're on your network someplace, can you see them doing something bad? And their response to this is that, because they do this for a living, right? This is Black Hills. They do pen testing. And oftentimes what happens is they'll go into an organization, they'll do their pen test, and then they'll ask the client for evidence that they were in there. Can you see us doing what we're doing? And a lot of times the response is, no, we can't tell you're doing anything.
So, I kind of want to say something about the lab part. Because, you know, we had to do several VMs, you know, a Windows Server 2016, a Windows 10 workstation, an Ubuntu workstation as well, and then PFSense firewall. And you know, this is what I found interesting. They did put out the information telling you what the minimum requirements were, you know, what was going to be DNS, what was going to have something with a DHCP address on it. I mean, you're going to put the link in the description about that whole thing. But it is really amazing because while we didn't get to use the lab, this brings me back to the one time that I was trying to study for the CCNA when I barely knew Windows, you know. And you said to me, when you look at that book, they're going to assume that you know certain things. And I think that Black Hills did a really good job on giving you the information for the lab. However, you know, you kind of have to understand that there is a part that you play in trying to put that lab together. It's really going to test what you know skill-wise. And then, you know, for us, it told us some of the weaknesses that we still have in putting a lab together. So I thought that was very useful, even though we didn't get to use our lab. What did you think?
Yeah, we're going to get back to the lab because they actually gave us really good information. They put a lot of stuff on GitHub. Mm-hmm. They have their presentation slides are in there. And they're supposed to be putting together a list of all the commands they used.
And the PDFs with everything, so you can actually do the lab. right?
Yeah, but let's talk about some of the things that they did in terms of being able to see the hacker on the network, because that's the whole point of all of this. And it goes back to that Windows logging lab I was trying to do. And in this particular case, they did something very similar to what I was trying to do. So you have a domain environment, your Windows 10 machine is joined to the domain, you have an Ubuntu machine in there, and then the pfSense firewall is just there to prevent bad things from leaking into the rest of your network, because you're going to be doing things in this lab environment that you don't want to be touching your production environment. It needs to be completely separate. And we did this inside of our VMware server. It's all virtualized. It worked out really well. It took a bit for me to try to figure out how to make certain things function properly, like the pfSense firewall. But again, we have it up and running. So now we have a template for how to do this again if we want to try to do more of these, which we will be doing.
But having gone through the actual course, one of the things that we both kind of agreed on yesterday is that after trying to put the lab together, even though we weren't able to use it, and then listening to the material that was given to us during the webinar, and then them putting the PDFs and the recording of what we did, you know, we realized that this is a great opportunity for us to go back and do it over and over again until we figure out the correct way to do it.
Yeah, but the whole point of this is to be able to use certain tools to see things happening on the network, right? You want to be able to say, okay, somebody's logging into the Windows machine. Somebody's trying to, use different passwords on the Windows machine. You know, you have failed login attempts. How do you see these kinds of things? Because a failed login could be somebody that just forgot their password, but it also could be somebody that is trying to force their way into somebody else's account, doing something they're not supposed to be doing. So one example they gave was password spraying. We'll get into what that is. Basically, what you're doing is you're using tools to try lots of passwords on different user accounts. And the question that they asked is, again, can you see those kinds of things happening in your environment? If somebody chooses to do password spraying inside your network, can you actually see that? And for a lot of organizations, the answer is no, you can't see that. So like I said, with my Windows logging lab that I had put together before, I was trying to use certain tools to be able to see some of these kinds of things. And in this particular case, what they had us do was use Sysmon, which is something that I have in my Windows logging lab, and I talked about that before, and that takes a bit to configure it. But then we also have some other tools in there that are going to help. And part of these things are, or some of these things are part of the Security Onion that I was working with. But in this particular situation, they're using something called Hunting Elk. And this is the Elasticsearch stack, or the Elk stack that they have out there. And what this is it's kind of like a SIEM solution. So basically what you're doing is you're saying, let's take all of our logs and let's send them to one centralized location. For this particular lab, what happens is the workstation logs using Sysmon and a few other things, that'll get sent over to the domain controller. Now, normally you wouldn't have it on a domain controller, but in this case, they chose to do that because it's just a small lab. And then we take everything on the domain controller, all the logs, that gets sent to the Ubuntu Elk stack. And that's where you get to sort of analyze all of the logs, and Elk is going to help you do that. So when they did an example of password spraying, you could see that happening because you could see it in Elk. It popped up and they could show you, look at how many times somebody tried to log in with this user account.
One of the things that I thought it was really good that has to do with how they did this is that they had looked at the Verizon data breach report and they realized, and I think one of the gentlemen in Black Hills said this at the end, you know, we looked at this report and most of the breaches are, you know, passwords, you know, logins and things like that. So basically when they showed you the log events and the events have a specific number that means something. And then what they did is they went into this Elastic thing and they kind of made a queue of, okay, we got a lot of these going on. Let's look for this, like, you know, bad login or whatever, how many times has happened. And, you know, they query by the bad login, the event number, and, you know, some other things. And it was rather obvious that somebody had just been trying to just blast everything. So and it was also interesting. I guess they could have also done the, you know, the one where if any of the email addresses were compromised or the user numbers were compromised, they would have shown on that. But for me, the bottom line, what drove it home was the fact that you have a lot of these logs that you can look at, but if they're not configured to catch this kind of thing, you're not going to see anything. And most of them are not configured like that in people's system, which is, I'm thinking why they couldn't see them, you know. Do you think?
So in Windows, by default, there are certain logs that are turned on, but there's a lot of junk in there. And so you need a tool to be able to weed through that. But for some things, for a lot of the things that you want to see as somebody who is going to be looking for the hackers, right? If you want to see failed logins, if you want to see when somebody does actually get to log into a system where you have it, you know, it actually did work, those kinds of things, you have to go and double check and verify that they're turned on, because maybe they're not turned on. And that's just one example of what you might want to look for when you're looking for, they call these indicators of compromise, right? You're looking for things that are happening on the network that maybe shouldn't be happening. And these are indications that maybe something bad's going on, that you have a hacker inside the network. You know, maybe somebody's running PowerShell scripts. Well, you can log for that. And they actually had that configured and they showed that. And it actually shows up in the hunting elk, you know, window that they were using. And so when you go in there and you log into the system and you go and look for those kinds of things, it's in that Elasticsearch feature set that they have in there. And that's something that I have been thinking about looking at. And when I did my Security Onion installation, that's in there. And so as I was going through my training, they were going to get to that point where they talk about the elk environment and how that works. But I haven't gotten that far yet. So this was kind of interesting because, you know, for me, it's all about the tools. What tools are they using? We can go back around afterwards and try to figure out how to make these tools function properly. And like I said, they're using Sysmon. There's a configuration for that. They're using different tools to get the logs over to the Windows machine and some other stuff to get that from the Windows server, the domain controller, onto the Ubuntu system running Elk. And so Elk is a big part of all of this. It's kind of like your SIEM solution. So it'd be kind of like a Splunk or something like that. And there's a lot of work that goes into something like this. And so you kind of have to evaluate. That was one of the things I talked about is, you know, ask yourself if that's the right way to go or if you want to pay for something like Splunk. I find that Splunk is a bit on the expensive side. Like not everybody can afford to run Splunk.
They also talked about two ways of being notified on this. One, to get an alert, and one, it was push and pull. Do you remember that part?
That has to do with the logging.
Oh, it does it?
Yeah, that has to do with the way they do the logging. So there's a lot of things in here that we're going to have to go back around and take a look at.
Okay.
But we will get there. And so as you look at some of these things, it kind of gets fuzzy as to, okay, how am I going to do that? And the other thing that's kind of interesting is that they didn't give specifics in certain cases because every environment's different. They want you to be able to have sort of a general idea of how this works. And then it's your job to figure out ways in which you can engineer that to fit in your environment. Because for us, we're tiny. And so the things we do for tiny is going to be different for environments that have thousands of employees and multiple office locations. You're going to need something different than what we have.
And that was something that I found refreshing, that some of the tools and some of the things that were showing us there, like if there is this many people that you are servicing, then this tool will not work. You're going to have to look for an alternate when it comes to a bigger environment, you know, in order to be able to do that. But at the end of the day, what they really drove home is that this is a need, whether you're small, medium, or large. It's something that you should be looking at because that's how they're getting in. And this is what you need to defend against, you know, trying to figure out, you know, how it works on your network and what kind of tools to use.
Yeah. And some of the issues that they talk about in terms of a lab environment are the same ones I have had where you need some evil to be able to understand whether or not this is working, right? So when they brought up Elk, and they were trying to look for things in Elk, you know, logs that that indicate that something bad might be happening, they had to go generate that. So one of the things that they did was they ran some PowerShell scripts after they had turned on the PowerShell logging, and sure enough, that showed up in Elk, and you could see that somebody had run a PowerShell script.
And one of the things I wanted to ask you, because I wasn't really clear on this, did I hear this right? When they were doing that, you know, before they run the logs or whatever, that, and then they put that in place, that can go back and retrieve something that was done in PowerShell before?
No.
So how did I hear that?
So what the system can do, if you're looking at Elk, Elk can go back in time. So Elk is going to, the whole logging system is going to store all that information. So you're not having to sit there 24/7 to see your logs. It's capturing them on the fly. So if you need to go back a day, 2 days, 3 days, you can do that with this particular system.
Okay, that's kind of where I got a little confused. But
so here's what I want people to sort of think about. You need to have a lab environment to learn how to do these kinds of things. And in the course that we took, they specified that you do not do some of these things in a production environment. Because if you turn on all the logging in a production environment, you could be in a situation where nothing works anymore because the amount of logs you're generating is so huge that running those across the network or going across the VPN connection, that's going to chew up the bandwidth, and then you're going to have no bandwidth left for getting actual work done. So you want to be careful how you implement some of this stuff. And so a lab environment is where you start. Now, you're going to have an issue where, as I did, you need to generate some evil so you can see in Elk that, yes, this is configured properly. Like, how do I know for a fact that my system can detect for password sprays? Well, you need to do one and see if it actually works. Because if you do one and it doesn't show up in Elk, then you know for a fact something's not right.
And what they suggested was to not do it on your production environment, but make a copy of your production environment into the lab and then try it there to see if it works.
Yeah, you want to sort of mirror what you have in production. It may not be exact, but if you get something that's close, then you should be okay because you want this to work in your production environment, not some made-up environment. And so, again, we have hunting Elk, and then we have Sysmon. Those are the two things that you have to think about in terms of deploying those on the network and on your Windows systems. And then to generate kind of a fake environment for Active Directory, they have something called Bad Blood. And when you run this, it sort of creates a messed up version of Active Directory, something you might see in a real-world situation. And if you were to run this on your actual domain controller...
And they keep saying, never, ever do that.
Yeah, because that's going to trash it. It's just going to get... I mean, you would have to rebuild your domain because this thing's going to just ruin it. So you have to do this on a lab environment. The other thing that they played around with was something called Bloodhound. And this is what they used to do the password spraying. And I've never really used these tools before. I've heard of Bad Blood before, but I don't know anything about Bloodhound. And Bad Blood, you just run that. It generates this messed up Active Directory infrastructure with user accounts and OUs and messed up ACLs, and it's great for testing. Bloodhound is a more involved tool where you can do things like password spraying, and I'm going to have to look at that to see, you know, how that works. But what they did was they ran the password spray with Bloodhound, and then they went into Elk, and you could clearly see that somebody had tried logging in several times, and they had all this stuff in there. So you could see that indication that, okay, something bad really is happening here. And they talked about, like, the event IDs, and you can filter for different things, you can search for different things, there's all kinds of stats in there. And there's a lot of things that they just couldn't cover in the 4 hours that they had for the class. So there's a lot of things that we need to do just to get to the basics. And then there's other things we're going to have to do if we would like to use some of these things in a real-world situation. Because there's a lot of things that, like I said, they weren't able to cover in the 4 hours that we had.
And should they have covered that, it would have been so overwhelming for all of us that we would have had an overload of information. So I think they did a really good job on presenting the material. They were knowledgeable about what they were doing. They weren't pretending they knew something that they didn't know. They weren't pretending they were someone they weren't, you know. And actually, I thought it was really refreshing that somebody kind of brought up SANS training. And one of the gentlemen there said, you know, they're all fans of SANS. And what they're doing, the material is different. The delivery is also different. You know, they weren't trying to say, hey, we're doing what SANS is doing. They're doing what Black Hills does and what they do best. And to offer the course for free, I was very grateful because I can't really afford a lot of the expensive courses. And they're going to have another course for $396 or $95 that goes further into this, you know. But for me, as a noob, it was really clear that I really need to learn what they taught on this course and truly understand it before I could even move on to anything like that. So they kind of let you know, it's kind of like the concept of they're not telling you what to do. They're actually giving you the tools for you to try to figure out how to do it and what you need to do for your network. And that, to me, I think is really valuable, don't you think?
It is. And so let's kind of summarize here, because we can't really say too much about this yet because we are still learning. Right. And there's just so much information that we could go on forever.
But how has this, you know, you were doing Security Onion. Has this course helped you with what you're trying to do with Security Onion? Has it made some things more clear or?
Yes and no. So you have to do the labs. You have to get the tools out. You cannot read about these things. You cannot watch a presentation like this and say that you know something.
Right.
You have to go in there and create the labs, create the virtual machines, create the systems, install Sysmon, play around with Elk, figure out what it does. And that's the only way.
Figure out the limitations.
Yeah, that's the only way that you are going to learn this stuff. It's not enough to just read about it. You have to go do it, because there's a lot of configuration and settings and things that you have to know are going to work for you in your environment. And the only way you're going to know that is if you actually go do it. And again, we're talking about Sysmon. We're talking about Elk. In this case, we use the hunting Elk. And we'll put links in the show notes to that. And I also have links to things like Bad Blood, Bloodhound. And again, this is all about being able to say, if something bad happens in our environment, we have things in place that help us see that. You know, if somebody tries to run a PowerShell script, we're going to know about that. If somebody tries to do a password spray, we're going to know about that. If there's a failed login attempt, we're going to know about that. If somebody actually does get to log into the system, we're going to know about that too. Because maybe you want both. So you can know when somebody is actually logging in and it's successful. But if it's successful at midnight, well, maybe it shouldn't be. So those are the kinds of things you have to think about when you are thinking about how to detect whether or not somebody's doing something on the network they shouldn't be doing.
And that's why I think their course was good, because it was like they looked at the Verizon data breach report and said, this is how they're getting in. They actually show how to identify how hackers are getting in. And they also, you know, offer a solution on figure out what your needs are and what you want to see, and then configure your logs in a way to where you're going to be able to see it. So,
yeah. And this goes back to some things that are kind of basic in security, or they are now anyway. And the big thing is you want to focus on prevention, right? Prevention's a big deal. That's where the critical security controls come into play. You want to make sure you have the first six in place, and then there's others out there that the Verizon Data Breach Report talks about in terms of making sure that the new ways the hackers are getting in are taken care of, like two-factor authentication would prevent password spraying, because then they wouldn't be able to do that. It wouldn't matter. You would have to have that second factor. So those are some things you want to take into consideration first, right? Make sure your prevention is in there. But this is all about detecting the hackers on the network so that if they are in your environment, you will see that, because you're going to see them trying to log into things. You're going to see PowerShell. You're going to see maybe some other things that you have turned on for logging purposes. Those will show up if you set it up properly inside of Elk, And ELK is just one way that you can actually do this if you can't afford something like Splunk or something else, where it might cost you $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 a year. And if you're a small business like we are, you're tiny, you can't afford that.
Yeah.
So ELK might be the way to do that. That would be your version of a SIEM solution where you can see somebody doing something on the network they should not be doing.
So you're still learning to identify things without shelling all this money out of pocket. No, I thought that was a really good course. I was really grateful that we were able to do that.
Yeah, but that's a lot of work. We have a lot of things that we need to learn because there's a lot of commands you have to run. There's a lot of things you do with group policy that I don't know about. It's just a lot of work, but I think this is a big step in the right direction. We're going to try to get more of their documentation and see where that takes us, but I think that's it for now. If you want to take a look at our show notes, you can go to our website at section9.us. If you have any comments or questions, you can go there and send us a ticket. And thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening.